Please turn with me tonight to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5 and verse 34. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 34. The Lord Jesus speaking, and he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And my dear friends, my subject tonight is the touch of saving faith. I have to add that word saving. We are not speaking about a vague faith, as it is often spoken about in the world. We are speaking about concrete. We are speaking about real. We are speaking about genuine. We are speaking about sincere and saving faith. A faith that takes a sinner from his doomed and condemned condition and give him fellowship with God. That's why that saving word is very important. My dear friends, in this chapter, there are some of the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have to say, just in words of introduction, that every miracle of Christ is fetching and instructive. Every miracle. There is a number of more than 30 miracles just recorded for us, even in the Gospel of Mark, but every one of them is instructive. And here in this chapter, there are three remarkable miracles, three of them. And the first one, without really dwelling on them, the first one is a man who couldn't be controlled by any man. No man could control him, but the Lord Jesus Christ was able to heal him. The second miracle is about the one who we are going to study tonight, a woman who has spent 12 years of her life, 12 long years of her life, no man could heal her. And the third miracle, still in chapter 5, Mark chapter 5, is about the young 12 years old girl whom no man could raise from the dead. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could do that. But my dear friends, why miracles in the Bible? And by the way, this is something prophesied already in the Old Testament. Just to give you one reference, it has already been said in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5 and 6, that when the Savior comes, when the Messiah comes into this world, he is going to do exactly what we have just spoken about. He is going to do these miracles so that people could see that this is the Messiah, this is the Savior, this is the Redeemer, this is the Anointed One, this is the Chosen One, this is the Appointed One, and no one else. So he is the Savior. And the miracles are of all sorts, diverse sorts, different kinds of miracles. But my dear friends, every miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ is an illustration. And this is where I want to draw your attention. Forget all what has been said if you want so far. But every one of his miracles is an illustration of salvation. An illustration of salvation. Luke chapter 19 verse 10. The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to seek and to save that which was lost. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, classic verses about the mission and the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Son of Man came into this world not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life as a ransom for many. Oh, my dear friends, that's the mission for which the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. So his miracles are illustrations of salvation. The parallel, what he does in the body. Oh, the forgiveness of sins, the healing of the soul is millions and millions times more powerful than just the healing of the body, because the body, how much money, how much things are spent on the body. But remember, the body will let you down. You will let it down, or it will let you down one day. But to nourish, to nurture, to cherish, to provide for your soul, this is greater than anything else, my dear friends. But you see, every one of these miracles, as I said, are illustrations of salvation. Look beyond the body. Look beyond the miracle of healing. There is a spiritual healing which each one of us need in order to live a happy life. In order to, when I leave this world, I know where I'm going. I'm not just like a stone or an animal living for the here and now. There is something better. There is something greater. There is something more elevated than anything in this world. Oh, there is joy in your soul when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, just building up, remember that these miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ are here to reveal to us His power and His might to meet our deepest need. My deepest need is not food, is not clothing. My deepest need is to have my sins forgiven. And you can try everything, you can try every fix. It will never satisfy that deepest need which is in you. But my dear friends, nobody, throughout these miracles, nobody is beyond the reach of God's mercy and grace. That's also another thing we could learn from Christ's miracles. I don't want to dwell on the miracles that are in chapter 5, but I want to draw your attention on one of them. Here it is, starting from verse 21, there is what has been so often called a tale of two touches. A tale of two touches. As I said, there is a good handful of parallels, really a good half dozen of parallels between how the Lord Jesus Christ is going to heal a woman that has spent 12 years of her life bleeding, and also a relationship with that young girl. Many parallels. I won't tell you any one of them tonight, but you can study it for yourself, and you will see that in this passage, starting from verse 21, there are two great miracles that are intersected, they are interconnected, and it is really one miracle in another miracle. While Christ was going, there is this prominent man, the governor of a city, who came to the Lord Jesus Christ because his daughter is about to die, and by the time the Lord Jesus will get to the home, she died actually. But meanwhile, while he was going, there is this woman who came, and 12 long years with a flow and a discharge of blood, making her life miserable. But my dear friends, can I put my first question to you tonight? Are you seeking for salvation? Do you really want to be saved? Do you really want to experience? I know that word experience is not really what I want. I cannot find a better word. But do you really want to experience the joy of salvation, having all my sins forgiven? Do you want really that? Oh, learn from this woman. Learn from her, because it is as if she was speaking to us tonight. Do as I did, and thou shalt find salvation. Do as I did, and your soul will be healed. Oh, I have five very simple headings as we consider the life, the condition, and the misery of this woman. Hopefully, you will see if you are a seeker. If you are a seeker, you really want to find the Lord. Her example in so many ways is instructive. And the first thing I want to put before you is her condition. Look at it. It's all in the text, starting from verse 25. The nameless woman. Nameless. You see how even Mark puts it in verse 25. A certain woman, unnamed, nameless. We do not know her marital condition. We do not know her age. What matters? A certain woman came with a condition 12 years enduring such an incurable and insupportable condition, pain. And actually, the word plague, it is described as a plague there, but really the word is like a wiping. It is like scourging. It is like nails and needles going throughout her. And every move of her life is a pain and ache. And she was suffering deeply. Oh, my dear friends, her life was ebbing slowly, slowly dying. That's what she was. But you see, her disease was defiling her. Her disease was debilitating her. Her disease was defecting her state of femininity. But more than that, my dear friends, this woman was ostracized. She was outcast. She was untouchable. She was rejected. She was isolated. She was shut off. Shut off from family. I will explain more. From friends. She was shut up. Couldn't have any access to any worship. She couldn't have access to the temple. That is forbidden. Even women will have a court somewhere else, no access. But in her case now, she wouldn't dare even to approach such a place. But more than that, she couldn't come to the synagogue. And you know, the synagogue was for education, actually secular education, but also spiritual education. But she couldn't be there. Why? Because of her condition. And normally, like a leper, this woman could have been walking. When she sees you at a distance, if we put it in our world today, unclean, unclean, don't approach me. That was her condition. But my dear friends, she was bleeding. She was broken. She was bruised. She was bankrupt. She was bankrupt. The verse says that all her money, she gave it in order to find solution for her disease. The doctors have fondled her. They took up, they put their hands everywhere in her in trying to find a solution, but they couldn't find any. But you see, her bankruptcy is emotional, psychological. It was financial, but worse than that, it was also spiritual. Oh, my dear friends, please, when you hear about her case, that's us. That's you and me. You know what the Bible says? Life is in the blood. And this woman was losing the blood. And that's you and me. Without a Savior, if we remain in our unconverted state, Bible says we are actually the same, in the same condition. Yes, maybe you are 12 years old, the time she has spent with this sickness. We don't know what was her age. But you may be 14, 18, 60, 50, or whatever is your age. Oh, if you live without a Savior, you are exactly in the same condition as this woman. We are speaking, as I said, spiritually. But remember, as she presents herself, in our fallen nature, we have a chronic disease. A chronic disease. We have rejected our God. We have rejected our Creator. And we made ourselves our own gods. We are the captains of our own boats. When we speak with people, oh no, thank you, I don't need you, I don't need your God. Can you show me God? I am my own God. I believe in myself. You believe in yourself, it leads you to nothing. But believing in God leads you to everything. We have that chronic disease that is worse than any bleeding. And in Psalm 51, verse 5, David, a wise man, a man of God, a prophet of God, said, in sin did my mother conceive me. My dear friends, that is the disease. That is the infernal, the fatal and chronic disease we have. I wish I could say more about her condition. But now, look at the second element given to us about this woman. Not just her condition, But she had a great sense of need. A great sense of need. And may I tell you, if you need to be saved, there must be that great awareness of your misery. I am miserable without God. Yes, I have a good job. Yes, I have a family. Yes, I'm a good student. I'm a good citizen, and so on. You could multiply your pedigree and your credentials on whatever you want to put in the basket. But you see, without salvation, without that awareness, I'm in need. I'm in need of something greater, something immaterial. Not what the funny and small things, the little things this world can give me, but the great ones, which will lift up my soul to something higher than this earth. But my dear friends, we are all under the condemnation of God. We are under that. And we have denied the obvious, as I said earlier. You know what is the obvious? God. God made us. We didn't make ourselves. And you know why people refuse to believe in God? Because they don't want to be accountable to anyone. Because if there are no standards, if you are your own God, you just live for self, who... When people speak to you about God, what is your answer? Who are you to tell me how I should live my life? I want to live as I want. But my dear friends, that is rebellion. That is stubbornness. That is arrogance. That is pride. That is foolishness. But there is God, and one day we shall all stand before Him to be judged and to receive whatever we have done in this life. But my dear friends, 12 unremitting years of disappointment will crush any one of us. Just imagine, even 12 days of a sickness will crush you down. What about 12 years of disappointment? Certainly. And you know, with Jews, it is even worse, because in their case, anything with blood is something that should be run away from. And back, I won't detain you with this, but back in Leviticus chapter 15, already there, it says that when there is such thing, when blood is coming out from a person, that person is unclean, and the person should be ostracized. But you see, remember what we said. This woman, not only we saw her condition, but we see also her great need. She has a great need, and no man could help her. The world says, help yourself, and God will help you. Wrong. That is wrong. If you have ever believed that, it is wrong. Christ helps those who could not help themselves. When it comes to salvation, you must come to an end of self. Lord, I got to the end of my rope. I cannot bring anything. Dead in my sins, I have nothing to offer. I can do nothing without God. You see, if you are trying to find salvation with your own deeds, with your own merits, it's like somebody who is dying of thirst, and you give him salty water. You know, people are navigating on the sea. I'm always surprised about that. You are in the midst of so much water, but you cannot drink it to quench your thirst. Amazing. This is exactly what is happening with us when we try by ourselves to find a solution. Oh, my dear friends, I must come to the third one. What do we see in this woman as she looks for salvation? And the third thing is that she sought healing. She was looking for healing. If I may use the expression, she searched everywhere under heaven and earth for a solution. But to no prevail, with no success. It's not new. There is nothing new. Medicine has always been expensive, and it doesn't always work. Medical science has given up upon her. And you know, the Jewish doctors, in the Talmud, that's the Jewish explanation and commentary of the religious books. They said that the Jewish doctors have at least a minimum of 12 different cures. I call them tricks, really. They are tricks. Sometimes with tonic and astringent ideas, with all that in order to deal with such troubles. And behind those cures and tricks, there is also a sheer superstition. But now, she goes everywhere. But do you see what the verse says? That in spite of all these doctors she has visited, instead of her situation becoming better, it was rather becoming only worse and worse. She had enough of them, enough of life, and she was at the edge of eternity, really, if we may put it that way. And she couldn't have any hope anymore. But can I ask you tonight another question? When it comes to the cure of your soul, where would you go? Whom should you ask? Where would you find any solution about the problem of your soul? Or will you go to man's concoction? Will you go to man's remedy? But man himself, the man who made that remedy, he himself is a sinner. He should heal himself before he can heal you. But you see, we are wizened, we are ruined, we run here and there to find the solution. But this world, as I said earlier again, this world, my dear friends, has nothing substantial to offer, and there will never be satisfaction for our souls. To whom would you run to tonight? Oh, run to Dr. Entertainment, run to Dr. Pharisee, run to Dr. Sadducee, run to Dr. Epicurean, run to Dr. Mysticism, run to Dr. Fix, run to Madam the Church. Oh, no, run to the priest. They wouldn't do you any good. So she came to an end of herself, and you too and me too, we must come to an end of ourselves in order to be received by God. But my dear friends, now, there is something beautiful. We spoke about her condition. We spoke about a great sense of her need. We spoke about how she sought healing everywhere without prevail, without success. But now look at her determination. There is a great determination in this woman, and I really take that as an example. Look at verse 27. It is in verse 27. And my dear friends, in her need was great, but her determination was even greater. Nothing will stop her. Nothing will put her off. And in verse 27, when she had heard, that's where faith starts. Faith comes by hearing, Bible says in Romans 10, verse 17. What did she hear about? Oh, surely the Lord Jesus Christ was the talk of the village. What did she hear about? It is not mentioned, but let me speculate. Certainly, in that city, she heard how the Lord Jesus Christ healed Peter's mother-in-law. She heard how the Lord Jesus Christ calmed the sea. The sea stood still. She heard how the Lord Jesus Christ healed the man with a dry hand. She heard how the Lord Jesus Christ healed or raised the eunuch, the only son of a widow, in Nain, the city of. She heard about different miracles performed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, guess what? Elbowing in the crowd, she came to see the Lord Jesus Christ. She came, the text says, from behind. What a great humility! She came because she found herself unworthy. She found herself undeserving. And as she came, She approached him, unwanted by the crowd, because she was not allowed to approach the crowd. But my dear friends, in Matthew chapter 9, what I didn't tell you, and why I wanted to preach also on this text, it is important because it is mentioned in three Gospels. In Matthew chapter 9, in Luke chapter 8, and here in Mark chapter 5. And in Mark chapter 9, verse 21, it says there, she said to herself, you see, my friends, faith thinks, but faith is humble also. Now I must come to the fifth one. In the fifth one, we see how she exercised and she acted by faith. She acted by faith. Look at it in verse 29. What will happen to her? Verse 28, first of all. She said in herself. You see, faith reasons. Some people, they say, you Christians, look at you. You are naive. You believe in a man who is dead on a cross. No, we are not naive. We trust in the Bible. The Bible is the word of God. And here in verse 28, it says, for she said in herself, if I may touch his cloth, I shall be made whole. I shall be made whole. That's how faith acts and faith moves. It makes you to do something. Because God has acted already. God has moved her to come into this place. Oh, my dear friends, that's the reality of faith. Stretch out tonight. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, may I ask you, just stretch out your hand of faith to receive the free, I underline that word free, the free gift of salvation. And you know what? You are in a crowd like this woman, but the amazing good news is that Christ can see you. And he's sensitive to your needs. And he's willing to come alongside you and to help you. Not you touching him physically, but him touching you spiritually and to make of you a new person. But you see, I want to underline something for you. Because jostled from in that milling crowd, she said to herself, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And that word touch, I need to give an explanation. That word touch is not just you touch and you run away, the hit and run. This is not what she did, actually. When you read the word in the Greek text, it means really she clutched, she cleaved, and she fastened up. That's the meaning of the word. Oh, my dear friends, this is what you don't need to touch and run. You need to believe. You need to trust. You need to repent. You need to fasten up and cleave to the Lord. Lord, help me in my unbelief. Make of me a child of God. Renew a good heart in me. I want to be saved. And this is what has happened to her. She was not supposed to touch anybody. You know that. But she did. She did. You know, there are many things she dare do in here, which normally nobody should have done. Can I tell you the first one? She interrupted the healing of the most important man of the city. Maybe he said, you could have waited another hour. You spent 12 years with your disease. You could wait until the Lord heals my daughter. And the second thing she dared doing also is to come into the crowd. The ostracized outcast person. That's why you are here in a crowd. Maybe ostracized outcast. That may not be your case. You may not live 12 years with a disease. But you have the greatest disease, which is your sins. Your sins which are outcasting you, ostracizing you, removing you, isolating you from the living God to have any fellowship with him. Oh, my dear friends. She dared also, you know, another third daring she did is to come publicly. Publicly she gave her testimony. I touched him. It is me. And that's what you should do. Lord, it's me. No one else. It is me who need that salvation. And she was very honest with the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, you know what this tells me also? You cannot steal faith. She came behind thinking that the Lord wouldn't know about her. Faith is to be received by as a gift. You cannot steal it. It is not somewhere in a safe and you need to know a special combination. It is free, given to us by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, Christ will never make you to be ashamed. Sin will make you to be ashamed. Oh yes, when you come into repentance, you will be ashamed of the sins you have committed in your life. But when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ repenting, those sins will be forgiven to you. And they will not stand before you as a heavy guilt and as a shameful thing, because Christ has power to forgive them to you. Oh, my time is over. My time is over. But if I can draw your attention about five other things, I will just mention them. Please forgive me, but it is for the sake of your soul. For the sake of your soul. Guess what happened now? The first thing, it's all in the text, verse 29. Look at verse 29, what has happened to her when she came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing the verse says there, that straightway, immediately, instantaneously, she was healed. Completely healed. And that's amazing. You know, with salvation, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he won't tell you, you will be saved tomorrow. You will be saved next year, immediately. And guess what? She felt it. She felt the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or may I say, what a wonderful transaction on that time. The power of Christ getting into her and removing the bleeding from her. And then she felt it. Who has touched me? What is the answer? I. And only I, Lord, have touched you. But the second thing, more could be said there, but let me give you the second thing, which is also mentioned here. It is in verse 34. There is a reassuring word. The healing was instantly healed. It was instantaneous. It was immediate. But the second, Christ gives her a comforting word, a reassuring word. You remember in verse 25, how was she called? A certain woman. But now in verse 34, how is she called? Daughter. Daughter. Christ established a word of affection, a word of fellowship. So she will not be just one, a cog in the people. Just a small cog in the people. No, you are somebody. Your name will be written in the Lamb book of life. You will have a new nature, a new heart. God will hear your prayers and so on. She's a daughter now. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust in his death on the cross of Calvary. You become a son and a daughter of God. But third, there is something more there. The third is the correcting word. Christ said to her in verse 34, thy faith. Do you understand something happening here? It's not the touch that saved her. It's not the garment that saved her. But the faith that was given to her that saved her. And salvation is by faith and faith alone. But my dear friends, there is the fourth thing I would like to put before you, which is so important. And Christ said to her, a gracious word. Look at it in verse 34 again. Go in peace. Go in peace. That is the gracious word. When she came to the Lord Jesus Christ, she was in pieces. But now, Christ is telling her, go in peace. You find the peace of Christ. You find union with Christ. You find reunion with God. Oh, what a blessing. She can leave that place with security, with salvation, with a new life. Actually, the Greek word, again, go in peace, could really be read by go into peace. Enter into the peace of God. But I must close. Here is the last thing I want to put before you. Verse 33. Look at verse 33. There is something amazing said about her there, which should make you to fall on your knees tonight, at least the knees of your heart, in trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 33, it is said, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came." That's the part I want to draw your attention. She came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Not half of it. So if you really want to find the Lord, when you come to him tonight, you must tell him all the truth. Without excuses, without alibis. Everything I have done in my life, I display it before the Lord. And cry unto him, "Oh Lord, help me." May I ask you as I close, what do you want from the Lord? A little help? A little get out of the situation you are in? Or something even greater? Who has touched me? Aye, Lord, what do you want? I want my whole soul to be whole. And the word whole there in the Greek, it's exactly the same word as saved. Saved. And she was saved. She left that place saved. She left that place being healed. She left that place being a daughter of God. She left that place being a new person. Now she can go back to family. She can go back to friends. Oh, may I ask you, come to the Lord Jesus. He's the Savior, the only Savior. And he will also tell you, go in peace. Thy faith has made you whole. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank thee that thou art the God who is able to touch us. We do not need any physical touch, but we need the touch of faith, the touch of saving faith, for we walk by faith, not by sight. O Lord, touch us and make us to realize our depravity, our carnality, our sinfulness, our wickedness without a Savior, and if we remain in our unconverted state. O Lord, be gracious to a seeker, to an inquirer. We pray that thou will do good to our souls, and that we as believers may be encouraged also that we hear good news about someone being saved in recent weeks because of the preaching of thy word and because of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. In his name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's sing together our last hymn, hymn number 380.